It has been far too long since we've had a new album from Ivy, 14 years and even longer since we've spoken to each other. But now, joining us on Static on 2SER, the founding members, Andy and Dominique from Ivy, from
Hello.
New York, and the new guy, Bruce, from LA. How are you all?
Good.
Great.
Nice to be talking to you guys. It has been ages, Dominique, since we've had a chance to talk about an Ivy record.
I know. It's been so long.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of hurdles between records for Ivy. And, I mean, Bruce, you haven't been there for a lot of the band's early history. But you joined them for their last couple of records and had stayed in Andy and Dominique's orbit.
Yeah, and I started as the keyboard guy playing whatever was missing in the song live on the In the Clear tour. And then I slowly contributed a bit to the All Hours record with a few loops here and there. And then when this record came about, you know, all the unfortunate circumstances, they reached out to me for help to finish these songs.
Yeah, well, it is an album born out of some sadness and some special circumstances for Ivy, Dominique, because your original bass player, Adam, passed away in between albums. But before that, for all intents and purposes, Ivy was on the back burner, right? You guys were sort of laying dormant anyway.
Yeah, correct. So our last record, I think, came out in 2012 or something like that, right?
Close enough.
And we had a huge tour booked for that record to promote it. And then just a lot of things were going on in our life personally. And I had to unfortunately cancel the big tour just a week before. And then I think at this point, the three of us needed to take a break from Ivy. And so everyone went to do their own thing. And I think only really 2 years before, unfortunately, Adam's passing, we were talking about maybe doing another Ivy record. And then April 1st, 2020, Adam, you know, died from a COVID complication. So that felt like, okay, well, there's never going to be another Ivy record anyway.
Yeah, it was a tragic set of circumstances, the way it played out. I mean, for people who don't know, Adam was your bass player and had been there with you guys since the start. And also, sadly, you had spent much of that previous decade estranged from Adam, right, Andy?
It's true. I mean, our last record, 2012, like she said, we became estranged from each other. I mean, we had been inseparable for over a decade up to that point, and we'd made a bunch of records and toured. And it was just, you know, the usual cliche of like, you know, the family's not getting along anymore. And that's what really would happen. And he was more than a bass player, by the way. He co-wrote all the songs with us. He was also in another band, Fountains of Wayne, and he was also the co-songwriter in that group. He's immensely talented, but immensely a pain in the butt.
I'm sure you are too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sitting next to the girl who would definitely testify for that. So I was kind of relieved after 2012 to not really talk to him for a while. We had spoken every day since we were in our 20s, and it was a little bit of a reprieve. And like she said, you know, just before COVID happened, just before he passed away, we were finally reconnecting, and we kind of buried the hatchet between us, and we were really getting along and hanging out. And one of the last hangs we had was about 6 weeks before he passed away, and we were talking about making a new Ivy album.
Well, it is lovely to hear that you had reached that point as well before Adam passed away. If there is any silver linings, that's one of them. And the other one, of course, is after that, you started prepping some reissues for your new label, Bar None. And you found this treasure trove of reel-to-reel tapes and old hard drives and unused material, all of which had Adam playing on it. So, Dominique, was that a surprise? And did you pretty quickly realize you guys had plenty of unused material if you wanted to base some new songs around that?
Yeah, no. We were shocked, actually, because when we were working on our reissue for Bar None Records, we had to go through our archives and dig up all these old recordings from our last 20 years. And in the process of doing that, we discovered so many, I'm talking about 80 ideas, unfinished songs. But, you know, in a way, it makes sense because it's from 1994 to basically 2012. So there was a lot of stuff. And at first, you know, it was actually quite emotional for me and Andy to listen to all this old stuff and hearing Adam talking through some of them or just him playing. So at first we didn't know what to do with them. And then slowly we get very inspired and we sort of discuss what could we do with them. And we thought, well, maybe that's a great legacy for Adam and for Ivy, making a last record with all these songs that have a piece of Adam on it. And the only caveat was that we didn't feel like emotionally and also just practically we could just do them, just me and Andy. Like we needed a third person and someone that we trusted, someone that could have an objective ear.
Someone that Adam would have
and
blessed.
And someone exactly that Adam would have blessed. And so there was only one guy, which was Bruce. So we reached out to him and we were lucky that he was okay. He was totally on board.
Amazing. I mean, there's an argument, one, for actually keeping all your old boxes of tapes. I'm glad you never threw them out. But two, Bruce, it must have also been amazing for you to get the call from this pair and say, hey, you'll never guess what we've found.
Yeah, you know, we had toured together, we'd done all this stuff. It'd been a few years since we'd like hung out and stuff like that. And Adam had passed away. And that was probably like the last call I expected to get was, want to work on new Ivy songs? I came into this as a fan of Ivy. I am a fan of Ivy. So that was how I got connected with these guys initially, by sending them demos for my band. So it was an honor to go through the process with them and finish up these songs. I had never worked with them in that way, especially Dominique. I'd written a bunch of songs with Andy over the years and worked with him, but not with Dominique. It was really magical.
This was your fan moment finally come true, Bruce.
Yeah. I felt like Jeff Lynne with the Beatles. I was like, psychology.
It was a tall order to fill because, you know, Adam really was. He was a multi-instrumentalist. He was amazing on every instrument. He was a phenomenal songwriter, phenomenal lyricist, a fantastic pop producer. And I wasn't used to going that alone with just Dominique and Ivy. It had always been a collaboration. We needed another Adam, and Bruce literally fit, checked off every box.
You need someone to also be a referee, Andy, when there's just the two of you arguing.
Checking off that box, thanks to Bruce. He never loses his temper. He's strong enough to pull Dominique off of me when she's, you know, and her claws are in me.
And Andy, was it also a blessing in terms of working for picking things up after years of inactivity and getting into an Ivy headspace? On the one hand, you had these old recordings to remind you where you'd come from and kickstart things, but also you had this new person to work with to help you find a way forward.
Yes, there was no now. I mean, the last now was 2012. So trying to find a roadmap for where these old sketches would be going in, this was 2023 that we started retooling these old ideas. And these old ideas span from the mid 90s to 2012. So I have to say that we really, really owe a lot to Bruce and his vision, because I think we would have been probably more rooted in older Ivy sound. And maybe a lot of fans would have liked that, but I think Bruce was able to pull us into the 21st century and make these old sketches sound fresh and current.
Yeah, it wasn't just stepping back into comfortable shoes. You've kind of kept a foot in each camp here, and you've stepped out of that comfort zone in places too. When you listen to this Ivy record, a song like The Great Unknown has some deadpan club undercurrents, which is something the band hadn't done before.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
And that came from a demo, and The Great Unknown is really from just a little snippet of that original idea, and it just really sprouted into whatever it is now. And we each had a card that we could play to like veto somebody else's idea if we really hated it. None of us ever used it because we were all so in the zone. I felt like maybe Adam was up there helping us, because it felt like we were just snatching ideas from the sky, because I don't remember ever struggling over a section.
I think if Adam is looking down on you, he's probably envious that you're all getting along and making an album so easily.
I know. Yeah. Maybe pissed a little bit.
I mean, it was also a reminder, because of the fluidness of it and the lack of stepping back and getting scared, that we weren't sounding like us, or we were sounding too much like a band that just came out the year before. You know, you always have this self-doubt or the imposter syndrome. It's sounding this good, it must be because it sounds like something that somebody else did recently. And I think that what Bruce and I realized is that, yet again, Dominique's voice is really the glue over everything that becomes what you would call Ivy. And if we feel like we're deviating from something that might sound like we should be doing this, Dominique sings it and it's cool again.
And Dominique, Traces of You is an appropriate name for the album. There are those shadows of Adam on it, and it is also traces from where you left off as a band. And your songs have always been thematically wistful, but even more so now. There are a lot of songs here about the end of love and dealing with loss, like Traces of You and Heartbreak and Wasting Time. Mm-hmm. There's some real life heartache infused here. I mean, you've lived a lot more since you last wrote Ivy lyrics.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's life experience, obviously. There's a lot that happened in 20 years. You know, losing friends, losing members of your family, going through separation, divorce, whatever, everything, having children, so much life. And of course, you know, more feelings and sometimes darker emotion, but always also with a lot of wisdom. You know, I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, so yes, this record lyrically, there's a lot of darker lyrics, but there's always a sense of an optimistic point of view at the end, which is like, yeah, well, life is shitty, life is hard, but it's life. Life is like that. And so let's just write about it, but also live it through it and be okay at the end of it.
And you are also forgiven for having so many of those hard knock life stories in this Ivy record, because the cruel hand of fate wasn't done with Ivy, because as you were readying this album for release at your new label Bar None, who had done the reissues the last couple of years, your champion at the label, Mark Lipsitz, who had discovered you and Ian Dominique as Ivy in the 90s and signed you to his then imprint Seed at Atlantic, he passed away in July, which is so bittersweet, Dominique, that he helped you to reignite the band but also didn't live to see this album get released.
No, this is such a tragedy. I can't recover this one because we've known him for almost 30 years. He was truly an amazing person. I mean, the most beautiful heart I've ever known in my life. Just going back to him after Adam's passing and just doing all this reissue and this new record with him, which is so joyful and so exciting. And we were like little kids again, all together, so happy to reunite. And then this record was really not just Andy, me, Bruce, and Adam, but it was also Mark. I mean, Mark was completely part of the team. And suddenly just having him disappear like that so brutally just before the release of the record is just the saddest thing.
And Andy, has it made you think about the relationships that making music has given you guys throughout your lives and how much Ivy has been an important part of your lives and other people's lives too?
Yeah, speaking specifically of him, I mean, he discovered us back in 94. He fought the higher-ups who were his bosses. They didn't want him to sign us, and he did. And he threatened his job. He was going to get fired if we didn't do well. And he's been there our whole lives. You know, he signed us. He shepherded us through our first couple of albums, and he was there at the end here, putting our re-releases together and planning this new release. You can wake up some days and just be really angry at the world, or you can also be more philosophical about your career, about looking at the beauty that we have a chance to bring these new songs to life. A lot of it is thanks to Mark. And so, you know, it depends how many drinks we have, which direction we go, I guess.
Yeah, it's such an emotional record to have got over the line, this one, isn't it, Dominique?
It really is. It really is. I mean, I don't like to have self-pities or anything like that, but there's days where we wake up and we're like, Ivy's curse. Maybe we should just forget about it.
No way. Don't forget, there's plenty of fans like me who are very excited that you guys have got together and got this record over the line. So there's a bit of a positive note to end our chat on as well. This is so great.
Yeah, look, of course. We did it for you too, Chris.
Thank you. I've been waiting far too long. And it is so great to have Traces of You out, you guys. We might have a listen to the opening song off the album right now. We'll play The Midnight Hour.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah.
Great.
Andy and Dominique and Bruce, it was so good to talk to you all. Look after each other. No arguments.
Thanks, Dad. We'll do our best.
This is Ivy now on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.